Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Monday, New Year's Eve day, huh? News, information, and comment right after this. Hey, when painful trials enter your life, you can choose to trust or to doubt God's plan for you. Trust in the Lord is built upon three essential truths, and that's His love and His wisdom and His sovereignty. God's love for us is, well, it's perfect, isn't it? He always does what is best for us in order to accomplish His goal, namely our transformation into the image of His dear Son, Jesus. And then dependable, God's love is an integral part of His nature, according to 1 John 4:8. To act in an unloving way would be going against His character, and He never contradicts His own being. The Spirit's present within each believer confirms the Lord's caring attitude toward you, His child. And then consistency. Not only is our Father's love perfect and dependable, His love is also consistently demonstrated. The actions He performs or permits in our life, even the hardest of ones, are just expressions of His love toward us. This makes no sense to us if we assume that peace and happiness show that we have a caring Father, and trouble somehow does not show that. Scripture teaches us to regard hardships as part of the training program. When tempted to doubt, remember Calvary, my friend. God demonstrated His infinite and loving nature by sending Jesus to die for us. Feeling pretty good. That's what South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said yesterday. The president told me things I didn't know that make me feel a whole lot better of where we're going in Syria. He promised to destroy ISIS. He's going to keep that promise, Graham said. We're not there yet, but as I said, we're inside the 10-yard line, and the president understands the need to finish the job. Earlier on Sunday, Graham called on Trump to reverse his decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria in a wide-ranging interview. Meanwhile, John Kelly has contradicted the president on the border wall. Outgoing White House chief of staff told the Los Angeles Times yesterday that, to be honest, we don't have a wall. It's not a wall. The president still says wall. Oftentimes, frankly, he'll say barrier or fencing, and now he's tending towards steel slats. But we left a solid concrete wall early on the administration when we asked people what they needed and where they needed it. Within hours, the White House was pushing back on Kelly's comments by highlighting Trump's earlier tweets on that very topic. The former New York City mayor, Rudy Giuliani, suggested that key evidence of anti-Trump bias has been deleted in special counsel Robert Mueller's Russian probe, and charged that Democrats rejected legislation that would have absolutely prevented the murder of a California police officer, Ronald Singh. An alleged illegal immigrant early Wednesday killed him. Meanwhile, they're saying a clerical error, that's it, clerical error, blaming for North Carolina's jail release of an illegal immigrant detained now on a murder charge. Sergio Salo Perez, a Mexican national, was released from the Meckle County Jail on Thursday after 7 months in custody with a written promise to appear in court and wear a 24-hour electric monitoring bracelet. It's just hard to keep up with all of this stuff in immigration. A lion housed at a North Carolina wildlife conservatory killed a 22-year-old worker from Indiana here on Sunday after it got loose from a locked space, according to authorities. The county sheriff said in a statement that the deputy shot and killed the lion to allow officials to reach the victim, Alexandria Black of New Palestine, Indiana. They tried to tranquilize the lion. It all failed, so they killed it. According to the Conservator Center, a husbandry team led by a professionally trained animal keeper was carrying out a routine cleaning when the lion got out somehow. The center said it wasn't immediately clear how the lion got out of that area and killed the girl. Isn't that awful? And as we close this segment, probably nothing talks about our society and the world today like a beer truck that lost its lager yesterday. Let's see, this is in Johannesburg, but it could have been down the street in your neck of the woods. There's a video posted on social media showing those bottles of beer all over the roadway. Most of the truck's load spilled, and a traffic jam quickly developed as drivers and passengers dumped their vehicles on the road, taking their life into their own hands, one after another, grabbing whatever they can salvage before the police arrived and saying to one another, "Happy New Year." Oh, my. More news. Run after this. They said it. Great thoughts any day of the year. The key to success in life is not seeking position or power or wealth, but rather seeking the Lord. Charles Stanley. Desire only God, and your heart will be satisfied. C.H. Spurgeon said, "When I was coming to Christ, I thought I was doing it all myself, and though I sought the Lord earnestly, I had no idea the Lord was seeking me. The thought struck me, 'How did you come to be a Christian?' I sought the Lord. But how did you seek the Lord? The truth flashed across my mind in a moment. I should not have sought him unless there had come some previous influence in my mind to make me seek him." You didn't do it. God did. He who begins by seeking God within himself may end by confusing himself with God. You don't do it, my friend. It is all. Everything is Almighty God. I don't know, I think I would be saying enough is enough. A Waukesha man, this is from Racine County, Wisconsin. He's 47 years old, arrested Friday, accused of his eighth, count him now, eight operating a vehicle while intoxicated offenses. Eight. The Racine County Sheriff's Officer said Kevin Tarbo was pulled over after the deputy paced him at driving 100 miles an hour in his Jeep on Interstate 94. An investigation revealed that Tarbo's driver's license was revoked and he had seven prior OWI convictions starting back in 1994. The latest was back in 2015. Tarbo was also on probation for his latest OWI conviction. However, he was not compliant with the terms of his probation and had a felony warrant out through Wisconsin's Community Corrections Center. It's hard to comprehend that someone with seven prior OWIs was not incarcerated and able to earn his eighth OWI Friday night. Although he was traveling over 100 miles an hour in a construction zone on a slick road, while intoxicated, we are all breathing a big sigh of relief that he didn't seriously injure or kill innocent people. My, oh my. Let's go overseas. Walking into a dark warehouse near Tajan, China, these stories just make me sick. This happened earlier this month. Animal advocates were hit with piercing cries echoing throughout the building. By the light of the flashlight, the rescuers peeked inside and there were thousands of glowing eyes staring back at them, crying for help. Hundreds of cats had been stuffed into barren cages packed so full that they couldn't move. Dozens of the cramped cages filled the entire dark warehouse, all stuffed to the brim with cats. They had no food, no water. Some still wearing collars from their lives as someone's pet. It was an illegal slaughterhouse, and this is how the cats would live until they were killed for food. Fortunately, that fate was changed, thanks to advocates from China's Animal Protection Power, a rescue group formed with the help of the Humane Society International. The first three cages of the cats we saw were just heartbreaking. They were cages of misery, the hungry and sick cats crying louder as we got closer to them, all asking us for help. The rescuers were first led to this slot by a local man who believed his pet cat had been stolen by some slaughterhouse employees. The rescuer agreed to help the search, and among the 375 cats they found, his beloved pet was indeed inside one of those cages. Oh. Just makes you ill. From our Who Said That department, the lefties hated the Timberland boots that Melania Trump had on when she visited the war zone on Christmas Eve. They say probably because anything resembling a work boot scares the fire out of them. And President George Washington, he did not use his right to free speech to defeat the British. He shot them with guns. Defend the Second Amendment. And let's be honest, the problem is not guns. It's hearts without God, and homes without discipline, schools without prayer, and courts without justice. And now this. Just thinking today, we have done thousands of these radio programs in the last several years. Yes, we have. God has blessed. I enjoy telling you what's happening in the world today, certainly giving you my opinion, and being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ and various portions of Scripture as we broadcast Hello World over the Internet, coming out of WHCB in Tri-City, Tennessee. Thank you so very, very much for allowing us into your home, car, wherever, every day at this time. Tell others about the broadcast. Join me, like us, and friend us on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. And those of you in Tri-City, we're going to see you before long, getting into the new year, and it'll be time for the Spring Share-a-thon at the end of February, first part of March there at WHCB. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for all you've done for us this past year. So the ending thoughts here for 2018. How to do church in 2019? You know, final words are important words. Do you recall? It hadn't been that long ago. The last words of President George H.W. Bush said to his son, "I love you." Last words. They're important, aren't they? 1 Corinthians was written by missionary church planter Paul of Tarsus about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. It was addressed to a group of new Christians in the Greek city of Corinth. That was about, 3 or 4 years after the planting of the church. All of the believers were new in Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were babes. Most importantly, they lived in one of the most thoroughly pagan cities in the ancient world. And as it is with any believer who tries to take seriously the call of Christ in a non-Christian world, and we're certainly seeing that a lot today, these people really struggled. They had questions, and they were sometimes confused. I often asked, who is the author of confusion? Well, these Corinthians were confused. They frequently made mistakes, do you? And sometimes, ooh, they made some whopperies. This letter covers two main subjects. First, Paul speaks to two problems that he had been told about by the couriers of the letter. In verses 1, 2, and 3 of 1 Corinthians 16, we hear about church fights. How's your church doing that? Boy, in my early days, we had a number of them and a number of church splits as well. And secondly here, it was tolerance of immorality in the fellowship, verses 5 and 6. And of course, then the rest of the book addresses a series of questions that the Corinthians had asked Paul about. Behind the questions was a common piece of confusion or distortion. Some in Corinth apparently had developed the idea that true spirituality was a matter of special visions or some spiritual insights that placed the recipients above the normal concerns of life. Oh, yeah. Some Christians seemed to claim that their spiritual gifts of speaking in different languages excuse them from listening and learning God's truth or behaving according to normal standards of Christian conduct. Almost all of 1 Corinthians can be best understood against the background of this total confusion. Paul attempts to ground their faith, and we need to think about this today, not in those experiences, that excitement. Oh, how super is that? No, they need to be grounded in the truth of the gospel. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and of the call of holy living and being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how's Paul going to do this? What are Paul's final words? Tucked away in the middle of the final chapter here, 1 Corinthians 16, are two verses we should look at. We will call them the how to do church from this day forward, certainly looking into 2019. They're simple and they're clear. There's five basic points. They're easy. Paul lays out the principles of these things to the believers, what they needed to hear, what they really needed to heed in life, and to remember that if they wanted their future faith and church life to be what both they and God wanted them to be, they had to do these things. And here they are. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, and do everything in love. Now, there's five commands here. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to break these things down. The first four commands go together, and the last one's all alone. Together, they describe what might be called really the two sides of Christian fellowship or life in the church today. Both very important. If you've read anything by Gary Smalley and John Trent, they will call these things the two sides of love in their work in marriage and family. We're talking about the church here. On the one hand, you have the tough side, and on the other side, you have the big T called tender, the tender side. A healthy, happy church life requires that we be both tough-minded, that we think clearly and believe soundly, and be tender-hearted, that we extend compassion, forgiveness, and a self-denying Jesus-style love. Imagine the horrible state of affairs, and we reverse that, and the church becomes weak-minded and tough-hearted. I don't even want to talk about that. When we're weak on convictions and hard on one another, let's consider this important balance that is needed to do the church today. This balance was needed at the church there in Corinth, and yeah, you need it in your church today. We certainly do. We've got to be tough-minded in our faith. The first four challenges of the text, they're all military terms. Sure they are. First century readers would have recognized them as such, and they're also present imperatives in the grammar. Imperative, meaning a command, intended to be a continuing habit pattern, a good habit. Not just something that's done once, then you forget all about it. Now, there's four tough-minded commands here. First of the four, be on guard. Watch out. Picture a military sentry posted at the outskirts of the camp. I remember watching many old Western movies with Dad. Oh, I loved them. And the good guys make it to camp for the night, and the fire started. And the first thing they do after that is decide who is going to stand guard tonight. They take turns watching so the others can sleep in safety. This term is used nearly two dozen times in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. It's often, by the way, in reference to anticipating Jesus' return and the judgment to come. Listen to Jesus. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, well, he'd have kept watch and would have not let his house get broken into. So you also need to be ready, because the Son of Man is going to come at an hour when you don't expect him. That's Matthew 42, 43, 44. Paul's call to spiritual alertness, that's what we have here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 6. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they're not going to escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-control. So why must we stand guard? For the same reason that a military camp posts those sentries out there. There are enemies out there to watch for. And make no mistake about it, there are spiritual enemies that every Christian and every church has to be alert to today. For centuries, Christian thinkers have termed them the world, the flesh, the devil, the three big enemies. When you find a church or a believer wounded, when you find one hurting today, it's always one of these three, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the same enemies have broken through and maybe are holding you captive today. Stand guard, stay awake, an unbelieving world that neither knows nor cares nor knows the ways of God is waiting in the shadows. Satan, the enemy of our souls, he's standing there ready, if not him, one of his demons. Our flesh, our humanness, our old habit patterns, our old predispositions to sin, and disobedience, that's ready to take over at a moment's notice. Command one for a tough-minded faith, and do the first thing here. Be on guard. And here's where we are today. All the confusion in the world, and you hear the news every day, and it seems to be getting worse. I don't know where we are here, but it is a mess, my friend. And here's the key. The more you get away from God, the farther away he is, you take the walk, you turn and walk, it gets worse, my friend. Was it so bad in the starting of America, right? Founded on the principles of the Word of God? Absolutely. Presidents that acknowledge God consistently, Where are we this year and next? We are in a mess, and we've done it to ourselves. So get close to God, and things will change for you. You're not always going to look like the winner in the eyes of the world, but you will be a winner in the eyes of Almighty God. That is a key today. So really what we had here was doing church in 2019. This is part one. We'll continue tomorrow on New Year's Day. This is a big birthday celebration for me. December 31st, 1973, Acton, Indiana. 15 miles outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, towards Cincinnati. Oh, what a time. Went to that church service, going to find out what in the world's been happening to me the last few weeks. 16-year-old Kevin Mitchell invited me to church, that I'm going to go, going to do it. And, wow, life-changing. I was confused, long hair, high heels, jewelry galore. What a weirdo I was in that fundamental Baptist church. Short hair, long dresses was the, well, you get the idea. But God moves in mysterious ways, and he certainly did in my life. I was in many ways out of control, did not know what was happening. Watched that movie on the authenticity of the Bible. The evening's activities, I'm trying to get it all formulated in my mind. Pretty hard to do. And then came close to the midnight hour, and that preacher talking about Jesus and getting saved and going into the new year 1974, a new creature in Christ. All sounded very good. Didn't understand it totally, but sounded good. Went to that preacher's office after the invitation. Yeah, I went forward. They took me back there, and we just started talking about the Romans Road and the book of John, and oh, it was good. It was good for me forever. December 31st, 1973. Trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and going into the new, what a time that was. Glory be to God. 44 years of an absolutely marvelous adventure with Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Oh, gonna have a real birthday party today, huh? And finally, some closing thoughts for New Year's Eve. A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other. And then my New Year's resolution is to stop listening to people, hanging out with them, those who ask me about my New Year's resolutions. One guy says his is to stop checking his email at 3 o'clock in the morning. 4:30 is much more practical. And then tomorrow you're going to hear, well, I haven't showered since last year, and you know what those are all about. I think I'll do something different this New Year's Eve, even though it is my spiritual birthday. I'm going to go to bed about 10 o'clock and find out what happened. That's it, my friend. Hello, world, for New Year's Eve, Monday, 2018. I will talk to you in the new year. God bless. Have yourself a great day. Be safe.